are listening to Adventures Within with Jennifer Moon and Robert Watkins. Adventures Within is brought to you by Faction 2 of The Revolution in partnership with Kaechung Radio. Faction 2 of The Revolution is committed to creating alternatives to the established orders of both the bourgeois culture of the fine art world and the spectacle arena of representations that constitute popular culture, in order to stimulate a new society that is both socially aware and politically motivated. Adventures Within is fervent in its mission to heighten awareness in and of the personal and private realms in order to realize and sustain political action. The segregation of the personal and the political, the public and the private, the individual and the populace, are no longer expansive. This is Adventures Within.
Hello, hi. It's Jennifer Moon. I'm jumping up and down, trying to relax. Okay, so I'm just gonna get right into it. I set the timer for 7:21, so it's gonna tell me when I have to stop talking. So for those of you who got my PR, I was kind of like not happy with the last show because I felt like I was, I felt this when I was actually doing the show, that I felt very, like I was editing myself, like I was afraid to say stuff because I wanted to say the right thing. And I wanted to say non-judgmental things. And I wanted to basically control how I was being perceived, excuse me. And so I felt like what happened was the show became a lot about ideas, like kind of like dogma, like these ideologies or these beliefs. About like what a revolutionary should be and how a revolutionary should engage with my beliefs or with one's beliefs, and it kept me from like getting into the personal. And the whole idea of this show was to, or is to, kind of like is to kind of break down the barriers that divide personal and public space, And a way to do that is for me to kind of be more, to tell personal stories and to be more transparent or be more revealing. And so what happened was I was scared to say certain things. So it never got to that level. And it kind of kept me from being honest out of fear. And this whole show is essentially about overcoming fear. And I was like in the fear. Oh my God, I gotta take this hat off. I'm wearing this beret that I wore for this photo shoot today, which is another interesting story. Maybe we'll tell that in a second. So basically the last show was about like the elections and about what I was noticing on Facebook and with myself is that people were engaging with other people's beliefs. And I was doing that as well. And especially with like Republicans, you know, I have like 5 open Republican Facebook friends. And I just started getting really annoyed with, like disgusted almost. But it was interesting because I was noticing that it was also happening with like the Democrats, and it made me realize that like it's the same, you know, like it's whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, and it's not all Democrats and Republicans, but if it's like the same energy, feels the same. Because when I first noticed that there's this one girl, as I mentioned last show, this girl, and this is the thing, like I was afraid to say this because I was thinking like, what happened if this girl is listening to the show? And I'm like, fucking no one listens to the show. I like know three people who listen to the show. And when I mean listen to it, they listen to it like on a regular basis, like listen to all three of them. I mean, all four of them. Or no, this is the fifth one. And that's, you know, and that's Robert, who's my collaborator. That's Michael, my life coach friend, who I often reference. And then my friend Barbie. And then also maybe my friend Patrick. But like those people don't care what I talk about. Like, as Michael said, like I can say, just sit here and say expansive over and over again for 20 minutes and he would love it. So it was me judging myself, and that I didn't want to appear to be judgmental because revolutionaries are not judgmental. Which is interesting because I know I'm getting off the topic of this girl, which I maybe we'll get to return to in a moment. But it's funny because like in the first principle of the revolution, which is definition of abundance, and I have the abundance booklet here with me. Oh, and that's the other thing is that I came here, I didn't bring any notes. I didn't bring, I didn't journal. Usually like before the show, I journal, just kind of like free journaling. And then from the journaling, I make notes. And it's interesting because like, I'm saying interesting a lot. In my very first show, I talked about how like I got really like the process of not trusting myself and how I was planning on scripting out the whole show and then it wasn't working out and I realized that it's like an act of faith for me to not script it out, and it's about courage and faith and trust, and so I didn't like script it out. I had a few notes, and then as time progressed and each show came upon me, I noticed that I was getting more and more was engrossed or obsessive about the note taking, and it was getting more and more, and I was becoming more and more concerned about like what I want the show to be about and how I should say things, and until it got to the point of the last show where it was just like it just didn't feel right, and that's the whole thing. It's like I'm learning to trust my feelings, which I'm kind of relating to my intuition. And also in the last show, I had this metaphor with the pinball machine, which I want to clarify one aspect of it, because I listened to the show and I think that I said something that I don't really agree with anymore. So the metaphor was that like, I believe that a lot of the world is kind of like operating as the pinball. And they're reacting to certain events or beliefs or interactions with people that then kind of shoot them in whatever direction. And it feels like a pinball. It feels like, you know, like they're being hit by the paddle and they're bouncing around on the bumper. And sometimes maybe they go on that little railing roller coaster thing and then they fall back in. And it's like that level. I feel like a lot of the world exists on that level, which is a reactive level. And it's so like on the surface, and it's so on the surface of things, and like thinking that I need to have this job, or I need to have this girlfriend or boyfriend, or I need to have like a family, or I need to have this or that in order for me to be happy. And that belief then like propels me to do things that that maybe is not in line with my integrity or really who I am at the core. And so what I was saying was that the mechanism, which is like the bumpers, the paddle, the railing, are our beliefs. And in that, I clumped in there behavior and feelings. And I don't believe that anymore. I think that the behavior is like how the pinball behaves, and then our beliefs are the mechanism, the kind of the obstacles, or maybe they're not obstacles, like the bumpers, the paddle, the railings, the walls. And so like those beliefs then like get me to react in a certain way, which is my behavior, and the feelings. So the behavior is a pinball, all the stuff of the pinball machine are the beliefs, and it's the feelings that get me to be aware of what my beliefs are. And I don't know, the feelings are not, I don't think, in the pinball machine. I think they're like they're like some other place. And that, and like that, to be able to be aware of my feelings and feel them and have them lead me to what the beliefs are, I think is like, it's kind of like the key to kind of unlocking this way of being, which is like beliefs, feelings, behavior. So like, for example, if I'm like being bounced between two rubber bumpers over and over and over again, I'm going to have this feeling of like either like angst or being annoyed, or maybe I'm angry or resentful. And that feeling would then hopefully, if it, you know, it's more automatic for me because I've been doing this kind of work for a while, then to go like, what, like to sit with the feelings and then have it lead me to the belief. And the belief might be like, for me, like for the show, it's like, I should, like, I'm not allowed to make mistakes. That was one thing that I learned from that show, is like, I was not, and that, cause I was feeling like so bad about it and stupid. I was feeling really stupid. And I realized that I'm not allowed to make mistakes, and that I'm supposed to say expansive things all the time. And I'm supposed to be a revolutionary, and I'm supposed to be formless. But those beliefs, even though like they're about being open, it's like, because they become part of my identity, they no longer are open. They're locking me into a way of being where I'm not allowed to like make mistakes, or not allowed to say stupid things, or not allowed to say things that are judgmental, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel that like, and it reminds me of this Byron Katie worksheet about beliefs. And it lists, and Michael gave me this worksheet, or it's not a worksheet, it's just kind of like a resource. So the worksheet, it just says something like, it's just like a list of beliefs, like in bullet points. And a lot of, and I use this worksheet, this resource, my God, there it goes again. When I sometimes facilitate group at like a women's recovery home, and I ask the ladies to kind of circle the beliefs that they identify with. And a lot of them are like, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, nothing ever goes right. Like a lot of them are kind of like these disempowering beliefs. But then sometimes there's ones like, I'm smart, or I'm beautiful, or I believe anything can happen. And they're, they often ask like, what, like, are those bad beliefs? And it's interesting because the list of beliefs aren't like, it's not saying like these are disempowering beliefs. They're just beliefs in general. And like some of those beliefs are helpful and expansive. Yeah, it's great to feel like that I can do anything. It's great to feel beautiful. It's great to feel smart. However, they can become like a hindrance or an obstacle or something that's locking me into an identity. If I'm using that as a way to identify who I am at the core. If I'm smart, then I'm not allowed to say stupid things, which basically is essentially not allowing me to be honest. If I believe that I'm beautiful all the time, I'm not allowed to be ugly, and it's okay to feel ugly. It's not necessarily the truth, but sometimes I feel that way. And if I don't address that feeling of feeling stupid or feeling ugly, which if I believe that I'm always beautiful and always smart, then I'm not allowed to feel those feelings. And so I'm gonna ignore those feelings, and they're gonna like, it's like putting a Band-Aid on it, or I don't know if Band-Aids sometimes are helpful. Or it's like a temporary, I think about like having abscesses, because I've had, you know, I used to be a drug addict. I used to like after my veins kind of went away, I used to muscle it, and I used to get abscesses. And like on the surface, it kind of just looks like a pimple, but underneath it's like eating away into like my skin. I had this one abscess that like, it was so deep, it looked like a fucking mouth. I know that's kind of like a gross description, but like it really looked like a mouth that was growing. Like after they IND'd it, which is incision and drainage, it was like this orifice, this mouth inside. So that's kind of like what I think like is happening if I don't address like my feelings of like, I feel stupid. I feel like I said the wrong thing. I was not, you know, revolutionary, whatever. If I don't address those feelings and those beliefs, with kind of kindness, then it's going to fester and it's going to make me do things. Like, I can feel like if I continued on that path I was last week, I would continue getting more and more like a fascist or something within myself, like being like, it would compel me to be even more strict with like my notes, even more, because I'm trying so hard, and it takes like me to, as Michael would say, befriend those feelings in order for me to kind of like get out of that cycle, that path to like destruction or something, and to do things differently. Like this show, I didn't even think about it. I try not to, and I didn't like bring notes. And I'm like standing up and holding the mic. Like for some reason, like sitting in that chair and like with being so erect with like the mic like in the stand. Like I felt like I was like a robot or something. So I feel much better standing, you know, doing things differently and like being and like saying like. Like in the PR, I said, like, you know, I might say something stupid, and maybe I saying the stupidest thing that I can think of as a way for it to kind of loosen its grip on me. And it's not like, that's not, it's not who I am. It's just something, whatever. I don't even know. It's just like I don't know what to describe it. It's just like what it is, I guess. But so I know I kind of went way off course. So let me try to go back. What I was trying to say was the last show, and this is like, I didn't want to say what I read on Facebook because I was scared that these people might listen, and they're not going to fucking listen because they're so far removed from anything from this station or that they're not going to listen to. So, And something else happened, like after the show, like this person, it's like a mother-daughter team. And like part of me is like, you know, like this girl's in high school. I'm like, why is this girl in fucking high school bothering me? But then I felt like that's also a belief too. Like if I'm like, I'm not supposed to like be bothered by a girl in high school, that's gonna keep me from kind of delving into this deeper. And it actually, and I'm gonna just read if I have time. Oh my God, maybe I don't have time. I was going to read something from the definition of abundance on how to operate from abundance, but it's basically saying, and I wrote this fucking thing, okay? It's basically saying that to pay, like, to be open with your judgments, to be like, you know, to kind of adventure within them, because the way that I judge another person is essentially how I judge myself. And that was what I was preventing myself from doing in the last show. I was preventing, like, going in deeper, so I was, like, off in this other surface area. Of just like ideas and dogma or whatever. But what happened was, I won't read the quote, but I'm just going to tell you the story that like a couple days after the show, like I saw another post, by this girl who did a screenshot of a text between her and her mom. And in the text, her mom wrote, Asians drive so bad. This is a paraphrase because I try to go back and find it, but it's gone. That she said something like, Asians drive so bad that I'm beginning to think Pearl Harbor was an accident. And, you know, of course I got like, oh my God, racist, you know, and it was like adding on to the already, like, because they're both like, you know, Romney people, although her daughter is only like in high school. So I mean, she's obviously, you know, adopting that belief from her mom. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, people like Romney, it's fine. I think, or maybe I'm just saying that. No, it really is fine, because the other thing that I've learned is that and this is like a Foucault, one of the principles from the Art of Living, counter to all forms of fascism, which is basically do not use political thought to discredit another line of thought. Instead, use political action as an intensifier of thought to create more domains and forms for the intervention of political action. So like for me to focus my energy on like what's wrong with, you know, Romney is like, I feel like it's serving me. It's serving some feeling of lack inside me to make myself feel better rather than serving kind of like the revolution. So anyway, so I noticed, so this text, and I was like, oh my God, what, like, it's racist. And like, I realized that, and this is like through a process, I'm kind of cutting it short and the telling of it, because I know my time's going to run out soon. But I realized that it affected me because I have that same belief, you know, because when I drive, and I've shared this with some of my friends, so you guys have heard this before, but when I drive and I make a mistake driving, I automatically think the people next to me are thinking it's because she's Asian, you know? So that's something that I have inside of me. And it's so deep. Like, I have my own form of racism, which I know, but I mean, I grew up in Orange County, which is, you know, it was a part of Orange County where there's not very many people of color. And that shit still, like, I still have those kind of beliefs of what beauty is and Asians are bad drivers, or Asians are this and that. And it's like this level of shame that I have. Oh my God, time's up. Okay. It's like shame. And I didn't realize it. And it's so interesting about shame, which maybe I'll talk about shame on another episode. But I realized, like, and this is what I talk about in Definition of Abundance, is that, like, my judgment of this text from this mother-daughter team actually became a gift, because it led me back to my own feeling, my own racism, and my own, like, the only reason that could affect me is because I feel the same way. There's maybe not all of me, but there's still a part of me that has that same belief, because I've seen other like things. Like, there's this meme like of a little Asian baby like holding a puppy up to his mouth and like putting it in his mouth, and it says like, "No Asian baby, don't eat them raw." And I thought that was hilarious, because I mean, I don't have issues about eating like dogs, so it's like, you know, that didn't bother me, but the driving thing did, and also because I was probably gathering more evidence in why these people are bad. So yeah, so that's, you know, my time's up, so I'm going to end it right there. And now is, of course, my favorite part of the show is the song we sing together. And the song we sing together is going to be my all-time favorite song, which is, you know, of course, Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. And I've sung this song, I don't know, at least 100 times in karaoke. I sang this song like in performances. I sang this song, there's two occasions that are special to me. I sang this song when I was, because I used to believe I was afraid of heights, and I used to believe I had vertigo. And really, like literally, I felt it when I was on heights. Like it felt like I was losing my balance and I would tumble over. And it was very real. However, when I was doing a Rose program, and I was a participant this time, and one of my bosses, his name is Red, kept telling me like, "You don't have vertigo," and I'm like, "Yes, I do. I have vertigo." He's like, "You don't have vertigo." And so what this element is, you climb on top of a pole and you stand on top of it, and then you jump off and try to catch a trapeze. So you know the pole is like 25 feet up. And it's like really scary because there's nothing to hold on to. It's just like a pole. And so what I did was I learned this from one of my participants, is that I sang this song while I was climbing. And what it did was it kept me, because fear is located in my mind. It's located in my beliefs and my thoughts. So it kept me from thinking about it. And I just sang and sang and sang, and I got up and I did it, and I fucking came down, and I was like, "You know what? You're right, Red. I don't have vertigo." It's fucking crazy shit like that. You know, like all my life, I thought I had vertigo, and it turns out I don't. It's like all in my fucking head. See, that shit is crazy. And that's the kind of stuff that I love. And the other, one of my other fond memories is of singing this song was when I was in prison, and it was during fog one. And when there's fog, we have to all be escorted. So we were all being escorted from the chow hall in two lines, and it was foggy. And I started singing the song like really loud. And then like the people started, like the women around me started, you know, a couple of the women around me started joining me. And it was so like, it was so beautiful, yet also poignant. Like it was, I don't know, it was very touching. So this is a song, and I'm going to play it now. Okay, so here it goes. Oh yeah, if you want to sing along, the lyrics are on the K-Chung Tumblr at K-Chung, at adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. Okay.
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
God, that song is so good. I feel like I might cry. It's so good. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you, Whitney. Oh, rest in peace. Okay, so now is the relaxing part of the show where you can listen to Robert's music selection. And this is a really fun playlist. I told him just to go crazy and do whatever he wants and maybe even like play a song that he, you know, is embarrassed about. I don't think he play, you know, because I listen to the playlist, they all sound... Maybe he's embarrassed of some of those songs, but like when I think of like songs that I'm embarrassed of, it's like, you know, like some alternative rock band or something like Oasis or something. That's what I think of, and there's none of that on here. So So here it is. Enjoy and hope to see you. Or not see you, but hope you tune in next month. Okay, bye.
Washing line smile. Look at her with a washing line smile.
Look at him with his doctor eyes. Look at her with a rabbit's fur tea. Look at him with his dressing gown nose. Look at her with a car boot bounce. Look at him with his wheelchair heart. Look at her, look at her, look at her, look at her. Don't look at me, I don't like it. Don't look at him, he doesn't like it.
That he's got a sausage roll thumb. Look at him with his sausage roll thumb. Look at him with his sausage roll thumb.
Look at her with a washing line smile. Look at him with his doctor eyes. Look at her with a dressing gown nose. Look at him with his polythene bow. Look at her with a hairdryer heart. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Don't look at me, I don't like it.
We know you're spiders, there's nothing to see. We're lying on the grass, just hanging around. But we need some wine, so lend us a pound.
Look at us with the red wine smiles. Look at us with the red wine smile.
Look at him with his sausage roll thumb. Look at her with a washing line tape.
Look at him with his dog
His favorite band, he wished he'd been a part. To play that song, he'd give up half a heart. Yeah.
down. Too little of me to be spreading round this town. And are you who you think you are? I know who I am and I know what I feel. So I have a few problems accepting what is real. And are you who you think you are? And I know I'm still a big your heart. I know I'm still a big your heart. I know I'm still a big your heart. But are you who you think you are?
Bye. believe me, this might be your only warning, and you'll see why the wolves once wild foresee something bright. The darker and darker they get, as my clothes burn, sweat, and start to weep as we sleep. Your footstream, my heart got a hold of my head and ripped it to its seams. My confession seemed well bled, but resolutions are only dreams. And now I'm covered in blood on the bed, and it's a familiar scene, cause I'm pretty sure my mind ran down this line again only last week.
Adventures Within. Adventures Within is brought to you by Faction 2 of The Revolution. For more information about The Revolution, visit jmoon.net. The Revolution is also on Facebook. Join us on the third Sunday of every month at 7 o'clock for another episode of Adventures Within on Kaechung Radio.